Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In these last days,
katika hizi siku za mwisho,
God is willing to unveil himself to his people.
Mungu yuko tayari kujifunua mwenyewe kwa watu wake.
In order to increase our capacity.
Ili tuongezeke katika uwezo wetu.
And to cause us to walk in the much needed authority.
Na ili tuweze kutembea katika mamlaka inayohitajika.
That is required.
Inahitajika
for us
sisi wenyewe
to fulfill the counsel of God.
Kutimiliza mashauri ya Bwana.
Tonight God will be upgrading us.
Na usiku leo Bwana atatupandisha juu.
He will be increasing. Yes.
Atakuwa anatuzidisha.
Yesterday night as I was not even praying, I was just moving around.
Jana usiku wakati nazunguka zunguka hata sikuwa naomba.
The Lord said today he will open the wombs of people that have been praying for children.
Bwana akasema leo atafungua matumbo ya watu ambao wamekuwa wanawake ambao walikuwa wanaomba kupata watoto.
So that means by this time.
Kwa hiyo inamaanisha kwa muda huu.
Next year we should have the children who should have received taken delivery of the children.
Baada ya mwaka mmoja tunapaswa kuwa na watoto waliotokana na ibada hii.
That will come out of this encounter.
Na itatokana na mguso wa Mungu.
Father, we give you praise.
Baba tunakupa sifa.
We glorify your name.
Tunatukuza jina lako.
We ask that you come take the center stage and be glorified.
Na utukuzwe wewe.
In Jesus name.
Kwa jina la Yesu.
Please you may be seated.
Tafadhali unaweza kukaa.
Turn your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Fungua Biblia yako katika kitabu cha Wakorintho wa pili sura ya kwanza.
2 Corinthians chapter 1.
Wakorintho wa pili sura ya kwanza.
I want to commence my reading from verse number 8.
Nataka kuanza kusoma kuanzia mstari wa 8.
2 Corinthians 1 verse 8.
Wakorintho wa pili sura ya kwanza mstari wa 8.
So when you study your Bible and you find things,
unapojifunza Biblia na unakutana na vitu,
things that the apostles do not want us to be ignorant of,
vitu ambavyo mitume hawakutaka sisi tusivijue,
if you find that statement, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant of this,
ukutana na andiko linasema ndugu zangu sikutaka muwe wajinga au msijue jambo fulani,
that means you will do well.
Utafanya vyema
to pay attention to the emphasis that is about to be brought your way.
Kama utazingatia usisitizo ambao utapaswa kusema baada hapo.
So one of such points where we see an emphasis.
Kwa hiyo katika mahali ambapo tunaona msisitizo,
we see a reference to something that the apostle doesn't want us to be ignorant of.
Tunaona kurejea kwa jambo ambalo mtume hakutaka tusilijue.
Is 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8.
Katika kitabu cha Wakorintho wa pili sura ya kwanza mstari wa 8.
For we will not, brethren, have you ignorant.
Ndugu hatukupendi msijue.
Of our trouble which came to us in Asia.
Habari ya dhiki ile iliyotupata katika Asia.
That we were pressed out of measure.
Ya kwamba tulilemewa mno kuliko nguvu zetu.
Strength.
Hata tukakata tamaa.
In so much that we despaired even of life.
Hata tukakata tamaa ya kuishi.
But we had the sentence of death in ourselves.
Na sisi wenyewe tulikuwa na hukumu ya mauti katika nafsi zetu.
That we should not trust in ourselves.
Sisi tumainie nafsi zetu.
But in God that raised the dead.
Bali tumtumaini Mungu afuaye wafu.
Are you with me?
Tuko pamoja.
Now, is it possible for you not to be manipulating? Is okay now. The way it is now is good.
Sauti ilivyo hivi hivi ni sawa.
Okay.
Sawa.
Now listen.
Sasa sikiliza.
So the apostle Paul says,
kwa mtume Paulo anasema,
brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant.
Ndugu zangu sitaki msiwe mnajua
of the experiences we had on our way to Asia.
Juu ya mambo yaliyotukuta tulipokuwa tunakuja Asia.
He says we were pressed on every side.
Anasema tulidhikika kila upande.
It even came to a point where we prayed to die.
Ilifika mahali tukaomba hata tufe.
Are you there?
So
then in the next verse he now told us why God allowed that kind of pressure to befall them.
Mstari unaofuata Mungu anatuonyesha kwa nini Mungu aliwaruhusu apitie katika hali
na reason for which God allowed that pressure to befall them.
Sababu ya Mungu kuruhusu jambo hilo litokee
was in order to give to them spiritual knowledge.
Ilikuwa ni ili wapate kuwapa maarifa ya kiroho.
Because he said here.
Kwa sababu anasema hapa
that this happened.
Kwamba hili hii shida
so that we will not trust in ourselves.
Itokea ili tusitumainie nafsi zetu.
But in God that raises the dead.
Lakini tumtumainie Mungu afuaye wafu.
So he was able to secure spiritual knowledge on the account of the pressures that he went through.
Kwa hiyo aliweza kupata maarifa ya kiroho kupitia ile dhiki aliyopitia.
So if God wants to give you spiritual knowledge.
Kwa ili Mungu akupe maarifa ya kiroho,
he will lead you.
Atahitaji wewe
to a place.
Atakuongoza mahali.
He will lead you on a path.
Atakuongoza katika njia
that you don't have authority to change.
Ambayo huwezi kuibadilisha.
He will put you in a situation.
Atakuweka kwenye hali fulani
that you don't have authority to change.
Ambayo huna mamlaka kuibadilisha.
In that situation,
na katika hali hiyo,
he will be able to exercise his authority.
Atakuwa anaweza kufanyia kazi mamlaka yake.
In such a way,
katika namna kwamba
that he will allow pressure.
Ataruhusu dhiki
to strike at your confidence.
Kupiga ujasiri wako.
To strike at the thing that you trust.
Kupiga katika yale mambo unayotumainia.
To strike at the thing that you have made your foundation.
Kupiga yale mambo ambayo ndio msingi wako.
And he will expose to you the fact that that thing that you trust is insufficient.
Na atakujulisha kwamba ile unayotumainia halitoshi bado.
It is only when God deals with a man.
Ni pale tu Mungu anapomshughulika na mwanadamu.
Man has access to the knowledge that can only be gotten by experience.
Ndipo mtu atapata maarifa ambayo yanapatikana tu kwa sababu ya hali aliyokutana na Mungu.
The knowledge of God is experiential.
Maarifa ya Mungu ni kutokana na mahusiano na Mungu.
God builds his dealings on your life into natural life circumstances.
Mungu anashughulika na wewe katika maisha yako kwa kutumia mambo yanayokuzunguka.
He builds his influence over your life into natural circumstances.
Anajenga ushawishi wako kwenye maisha yako kupitia yale mambo na mazingira yanayokuzunguka.
For instance,
kwa mfano,
somebody comes and makes a proposal to you. I want to marry you.
Mtu anakuja kukuchumbia anasema nataka nikuoe.
Then you go for prayer.
Unaingia kwenye maombi.
God now approves.
Mungu anathibitisha.
You check again.
Unachunguza tena.
God approves.
Mungu anathibitisha.
You report to your pastor.
Unamwambia mchungaji.
Your pastor checked.
Mchungaji anaangalia.
God approves.
Na anasema sawa.
You told your parents.
Unaambia wazazi wako.
They checked.
Wazazi wako wanaangalia.
God approves.
Na wenyewe anapitisha.
So you were convinced.
Sasa umeshawishika vizuri.
This is the will of God.
Kwamba haya ni mapenzi ya Mungu.
And then you remember the great day of marriage and all the kind of music that went on.
Na unakumbuka ile siku nzuri ya harusi na miziki yote iliyopigwa.
You've been ushered into a situation.
Uliingizwa katika hali fulani.
You don't have the authority to influence that situation.
Hauna mamlaka ya kuchezesha hali unayopitia.
And in the midst of that situation.
Na katikati ya hali hiyo,
God now smuggles in a dealing.
Mungu anaingiza jambo lake sasa.
You know, Jesus was sent to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil.
Unajua Yesu aliongozwa nyikani ajaribiwe na ibilisi.
To be tried by his spirit.
Ajaribiwe na roho.
When a spirit is trying you.
Roho inapokujaribu.
Many times it doesn't make sense.
Mara nyingi haingii akilini.
Are you there?
Tuko pamoja.
Your understanding is unfruitful.
Uelewa wako unakuwa una matunda.
So Paul was giving us an experience.
Kwa hiyo Paulo alikuwa anatuambia jambo fulani.
He said we had some challenges when we were traveling to Asia. Asa
tukutana changamoto nyingi tulipokuwa tunaenda Asia.
We were pressed on every side.
Tulidhikika kila upande.
It made no sense why we should go through that circumstance.
Hatukuelewa kwa nini ilipaswa tupitie hali hiyo.
We were pressed beyond our strength.
Tulishinikizwa kuliko uwezo wetu.
We were brought to a point where we began to even say, okay, take us.
Tulifika mahali tukatamani hata kufa basi Mungu
tuchukue. We preferred death than that situation.
Alitamani kufa kuliko hali anayopitia.
It took a long time for us to understand that the reason why God allowed it was not to kill us.
Ilichukua muda mrefu sikuelewa kwamba Mungu ameruhusu hilo sio ili atuue.
Because there are situations you find yourself you begin to pray to die. I know.
Kwa sababu kuna mahali utajikuta na utamani ufe, utaomba ufe.
And if this is our marriage, just let me die.
Itaji imani katika ndoa yetu.
But the reason why God allowed the challenge is not so that it will kill you.
Lakini Mungu ameruhusu changamoto hiyo sio ili akuue.
It's so that it will give you spiritual knowledge.
Ni ili akupe maarifa ya kiroho.
Spiritual knowledge is the proof.
Maarifa ya kiroho ni uthibitisho.
That you know God.
Kwamba unamjua Mungu.
The knowledge of God is precipitated in measures of spiritual knowledge.
If
you are still with me, say
amen.
The knowledge of God is not necessarily the knowledge of the Bible. The knowledge of God is experiential, and you can use the Bible to talk about it.
If
only what you have is the knowledge of the Bible, what you have is the letter that kills.
Kama ulichonacho ni maarifa ya Biblia, ulichonacho ni maneno ambayo yanaweza kaua.
Because you may have the capacity to be able to teach the book of Romans chapter 5.
Kwa sababu unaweza kuwa na uwezo wa kufundisha kitabu cha Warumi sura 5.
And not have the experience of justification that Romans chapter 5 speaks about.
Na usiwe na hali ya kukutana kuhesabiwa haki ambako sura 5 ya Warumi inazungumzia.
Are you following me?
Unanisikiliza?
The knowledge of God is experiential.
Maarifa ya Mungu ni ile hali ya wewe kushughulika na
Mungu. There are only two ways to know God.
Kuna namna mbili tu za kumjua Mungu.
Is either you decide to deal with God.
Ni au uamue kuhusiana na Mungu.
Or you decide to submit to God to deal with you.
Au ujinyenyekeze kwa Mungu ili ashughulike na wewe.
The Bible speaks about God.
Biblia inazungumza habari za Mungu.
Gives us insight into God, so that we can have the opportunity to deal with God. Your knowledge of God comes by your deciding to deal with God. How many of you have read the book of Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6? It says, he that cometh to God.
Oh,
you're not here. Are you with me?
Tuko pamoja.
It's a he that cometh to God.
Asema yeye amjiaye Mungu.
The one that comes to God is the one that has decided to deal with God.
Yule alimjiaye Mungu ndio aliamua kumshughulika na Mungu.
The requirements of dealing with God do not apply to people that do not want to deal with him.
Yule hali ya kuhitaji kuhusiana na Mungu haifanyi kazi kwa wale watu ambao hawataki kuhusiana na Mungu.
For instance, the Bible says he that cometh to God must believe.
Kwa mfano maandiko yanasema yeye amjiaye Mungu lazima aamini.
The moment you decide to deal with God, there are rules that you cannot avoid.
Mara unapoamua kuhusiana na Mungu, kuna sheria ambazo huwezi kuzikwepa.
Those rules are not applicable to you until you come up with the decision to deal with God.
Kanuni hizo zitakusaidia kama haujaamua kushughulika kuhusiana na Mungu.
Those requirements mean nothing to you until the day you decide that you want to begin to deal with God.
Kanuni hizo zitakusaidia mpaka ile siku umeamua unataka kuhusiana kweli na Mungu.
It is possible for you to have given your life to Christ but you don't want to deal with God.
Inawezekana umempa Yesu maisha yako lakini hutaki kujihusisha na Mungu.
So the rules that pertain to dealing with God do not apply to you.
Kwa hiyo kanuni zinazohusisha watu wanaohusiana na Mungu hazitakusaidia wewe.
As I go across Africa from place to place,
napozunguka Afrika huku na huku,
preaching the gospel,
kuhubiri injili,
I find out,
niligundua,
so many people,
watu wengi,
African Christians,
Wakristo wa Kiafrika,
they have a knowledge of the Bible,
wanajua Biblia,
but they don't know God,
lakini Mungu hamjui,
and those are two different things.
Na hivi vitu viwili tofauti.
Are you there?
Tuko pamoja.
Because if you want to know God,
kwa sababu ukitaka kumjua Mungu,
you will need to deal with him.
Lazima ushughulike naye.
It is only when you decide to begin to deal
na ni pale tunapoamua kushughulika na Mungu,
you can now have what we call experiential knowledge.
Ndipo utapata maarifa ya uzoefu.
Since God is a spirit, you cannot know him with your mental capacity.
Kwa sababu Mungu ni roho, huwezi kumfahamu kwa kutumia akili zako.
You can only experience him through dealings.
Unaweza kupata uzoefu na Mungu kupitia kushughulika naye.
These dealings that I'm talking about
kushughulika huko kwa Mungu na kuzungumzia
will be approved of God.
Kumethibitishwa na Mungu.
Just like God approved your marriage to your husband.
Kama vile Mungu alivyothibitisha ndoa yako kwa mume wako.
That's the same way God led Jesus into the wilderness.
Hivyo ndivyo Mungu alivyomuongoza Yesu nyikani.
But when he arrived at the wilderness,
na alipofika nyikani,
what took place in the wilderness was a dealing.
Kilichotokea kule nyikani ilikuwa ni hali ya kushughulika na Mungu.
When you are under the influence of a dealing,
unapokuwa chini ya ushawishi wa uhusiano wa kushughulika na
Mungu, you don't understand what is going on with your mind.
Hautaelewa kinachoendelea kwa kutumia akili zako za kibinadamu.
The reason is because a spirit is involved in the dealing.
Sababu ni kwamba kuna roho anahusika katika jambo hilo.
You are going to experience dealings, not no dealings with your mind.
Utaenda kuhusiana na kushughulika na Mungu, sio kuhusiana na kushughulika na
maarifa ya Mungu. God will boycott your mind and the object of the dealing is your heart.
Na hilo likitokea Mungu atapita fikra zako, atashughulika na moyo wako.
Because the knowledge of God will not register in your mind, it will derive from your heart after you have made encounters with dealings.
Kwa sababu maarifa ya Mungu atapitia katika akili yako kutokana na katika moyo wako baada ya
if you go to learn something in a classroom, you are going to forget it.
Wakati ukienda kujifunza kitu darasani unaweza ukakisahau.
Those of you that are accountants and have not practiced accounting for the past 7 years, you are no longer an accountant.
Wale ambao ni wahasibu na hujafanya uhasibu kwa miaka 7 iliyopita, wewe sio mhasibu tena.
You picked up that knowledge of accounting through exacting your soul.
Ulipata maarifa haya uhasibu kwa kupitia akili.
Exacting your mind.
Kupitia akili.
But the moment are you there, you receive a dealing.
Mara unapopata kukutana na Mungu,
God writes the wisdom in that dealing on your heart. You can never forget it.
Mungu anaandika maarifa ya kukutana kwake na yeye katika moyo wako.
Forget your accounting.
Unaweza ukasahau uhasibu.
Forget the chemistry that.
Unaweza ukasahau kemia.
You can forget the mathematics you studied in
school.
If you are not practicing it,
kama uyafanyi kazi.
You cannot forget the lessons that are drawn from a dealing.
Lakini huwezi ukasahau mambo uliyojifunza kupitia na uzoefu wako.
Because they are not in your mind.
Kwa sababu hawako katika akili zako.
They are registered upon your heart.
Yaliandikwa katika moyo wako.
If you come in contact, if you have a practical situation,
kama utakutana na jambo la uhalisia,
for which you need an intervention,
ambapo unataka Mungu aingilie kati,
you will discover that the things that are on your mind, it will be suspended.
Utagundua kwamba akili yako haitakuwa inafanya kazi.
You will forget what you learned in Bible study last week.
Utasahau ulichojifunza kwenye Bible study
iliyopita. The thing that will not be deleted in the face of practical situations are the things on your heart.
Kitu pekee ambacho hakiwezi kufutika unapokutana na mambo kama hayo ni yale mambo yaliyo katika moyo wako.
It is only through dealings that God writes His wisdom on your heart.
Ni kupitia uhusiano wako na Mungu ndipo Mungu ataandika hekima yake katika moyo wako.
That knowledge becomes a part of you like your own beating heart.
Maarifa hayo ya moyoni mwako yanakuwa sehemu yako kama mapigo ya moyo.
So
Paul anasema,
brethren,
ndugu zangu,
I don't want you to be ignorant.
Sitaki nyinyi mwe wajinga au mkose kujua.
Of the terrible things that happened to us on our way to Asia.
Jua la mambo mazito yaliyotukutana sisi tulipokuwa tunaenda Asia.
We were pressed beyond measure.
Tulidhikika kuliko uwezo wetu.
We were pressed out of strength.
Tulidhikika kuliko uwezo wetu.
We began to pray to die.
Tukaanza kuomba ili tufe.
After some time we realized.
Baada ya muda tukagundua.
That God did not allow that pressure to kill us.
Kwamba Mungu hajaruhusu mambo hayo magumu yatukute ili atuwe.
He only allowed the pressure to defeat our confidence in ourselves.
Aliruhusu hali hiyo itukute ili tusitumainie nafsi zetu wenyewe.
So that we will not trust in ourselves.
Ili kwamba tusitumainie nafsi zetu wenyewe.
But from trusting God that raises the dead.
Lakini tumtumainie Mungu aweze kufua.
Do you know that there are many wrong philosophies that we have picked up?
Unajua kuna falsafa nyingi sio sahihi ambazo tumezikupata.
Some we pick them up by experience.
Nyingine tumezipata kupitia uzoefu wetu.
Some others we picked it up by the counsel, wrong counsel that people gave us.
Nyingine tulipata kupitia mashauri yasiyo sahihi ambayo watu.
Our lives are shaped by those philosophies that we picked up.
Na maisha yetu yanaongozwa na zile falsafa tulizopokea.
God wants to defeat the philosophy, wrong philosophies that you have.
Kama Mungu anapaswa kushughulika na hizo falsafa potofu.
Many times he gives you a dealing.
Mara nyingi anakupa jambo.
He allows you to come into a situation.
Itakuruhusu uingie mahali ambapo.
That destroys the foundation of that philosophy that you are carrying.
Panavunja kabisa msingi ya falsafa uliyobebeshwa.
Such a philosophy that will not make you depend upon him.
Falsafa ambayo itakufanya usimtegemee Mungu.
Such a philosophy that will make you far away from him.
Falsafa ambayo itakufanya uwe mbali na Mungu.
He organizes circumstances.
Anatengeneza mazingira.
Organizes situations.
Anatengeneza jambo, changamoto.
Brings you into those situations.
Anakuleta katika changamoto.
You might even fast and pray.
Unaweza kufunga na kuomba.
Say, God, deliver me from this.
Ombe Bwana uniepushe na jambo
hili. The more you pray, the more the thing intensifies.
Kwa kadri unavyoomba na jambo linakuwa
gumu zaidi. God gave approval for those perils to come your way.
Kwa sababu Mungu ameruhusu mambo haya kutokea.
So your prayer will not have authority to deliver you from it.
Kwa hiyo maombi yako hayatafaa kitu
kutoka kwa Mungu. The more you pray, you'll be delivered into it.
Na hata hivyo kwa kadri utakavyoomba zaidi ndio utakavyotumbukizwa katika
baraka hiyo. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Tuko pamoja.
You are not following me.
I'm mistaken vizuri.
Now every human being has an elastic limit.
Sasa kila mwanadamu ana mwisho wa kutanuka kwake.
In the fundamentals of the doctrine of temptation.
Katika misingi ya mafundisho ya jaribu.
The Bible says that God,
Biblia inasema Mungu,
will not allow us
hata turuhusu
to be tempted,
tujaribiwe,
much more than we have the capacity to bear.
Kuliko uwezo wetu tulionao wa kushinda
mateso. It means that every human being
asema kila mwanadamu
a capacity to bear temptation.
Ana uwezo wa kuhimili majaribu.
That is peculiar to you.
Ambayo ni kipekee kwako.
Did you get it?
Umesikia?
That's the doctrine of temptation.
Hilo ndio fundisho la majaribu.
But in the doctrine of dealings,
these
are two different things. In temptation, God will not allow you to be tempted much more than you have the capacity to
be. Majaribu, Mungu atakuruhusu upitie jaribu lilo juu ya uwezo wako.
Are you there?
Tuko pamoja.
But lakini, in the doctrine of dealings, God will allow you to be stretched beyond your capacity to bear.
Katika mafundisho ya matendo ya Mungu, Mungu atakuvuta kuliko uwezo wako kuhimili.
Let me read the Bible to you so that you understand this matter. Ngoja nikusomee Biblia ili uelewe vizuri. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble.
Hatukutaka msiache kujua, mwache kujua dhiki yetu.
It means that if we don't educate you about this trouble, you are likely to stumble in the day that you encounter this kind of situation.
Maana kama tutajulisha mambo haya, mtakwama katika mkikutana hali namna hii.
It will amount to disservice on my part not to expose you to the fact that this Christianity captures trouble.
Nimepaswa kukujulisha kwamba Ukristo unakutana na matatizo pia.
So I don't want you to be ignorant of it.
Asema sitaki mwe wajinga katika hili.
It came to us in Asia.
Epukuja kwetu Asia.
Now, how was he pressed?
Alisongwa kwa namna gani?
He was pressed out of measure.
Alisongwa kuliko uwezo wake.
Now, in temptation, God will not allow you to be tempted much more than you have the capacity to bear.
Sasa katika majaribu, Mungu hata kuwepa katika jaribu ambalo.
But in dealings, you will be pressed out of measure.
Lakini katika kushughulika na Mungu, utadhikika kuliko uwezo wako.
Are you there?
Tuko pamoja.
In dealings, you will be pressed above your strength.
Katika udhaifu na Mungu, utadhikika kuliko uwezo wako.
In dealings, you can be pressed to a point where you will begin to pray to die.
Katika kushughulika na Mungu, utaweza ukasongwa mpaka utamani kufa.
Are you saying it?
Tuko pamoja.
The reason why God does that is because he wants to take you beyond the limits of your mind, your own knowledge.
Sababu Mungu anafanya hivyo, anataka kukupeleke mahali mbali na akili yako.
And if you are lacking in dealings,
na kama utakosa udhaifu na Mungu,
you are lacking in spiritual capacity.
Utakosa uwezo wa kiroho.
If you have not received dealings, you can.
Kama hautapokea uzoefu huo na Mungu,
there is a tendency for you to trust in your wisdom.
Kutakuwa na namna ya wewe kutegemea hekima yako.
If you have not received dealings, there's a tendency for you to trust in your understanding.
Kama utapitia uzoefu mambo kama hayo, utakosa uwezo katika maisha.
If you have not received dealings, you might claim that the reason why you are getting ahead is because you are smart.
Ukikosa uzoefu na mayo, utasema
unafikiri wewe
ni mjanja. Unaweza.
You are intelligent.
Wewe una akili sana.
You will not know that our ancestors have already judged that the race is not to the swift.
Hautajua kwamba
you forget that. You think
wazee wakisema kwamba mbio sio kwa mwenye kasi.
I'm a sharp guy. It's because I'm a sharp guy. That's why in my church, I'm pastoring 2,000 people because I'm a sharp guy. I'm the sharp guy of Dar es Salaam. So you will have confidence in yourself. You say, okay, it's my figure, my beauty. God sculpted me in a most golden way. So in order for God to help you, deliver you from that wrong philosophy,
he
will allow you to be part of an accident. The accident will touch your beauty. And the reason why you'll be crying in the hospital is not because of the pain, it's because of the pain of losing what you consider to be your
confidence.
He said we were pressed beyond strength. That's how you will know that God approved the spirit that is responsible for the situation to stretch you beyond your capacity. You may not know how strong we are in the flesh. How defiant we are in the presence of God. You may not know that our specialty is in the area of rebellion. So when God wants to begin to make you Christ-like, he will strike at the heart of the rebellion that is in your soul. And the way he will do it is that he will expose you to circumstances that you have no authority over. The more you try to fight it, the more it grips you with intensity. the more you try to overcome it, the more you are swallowed. Then you now say, okay, this thing is too strong, it is about to swallow me, let me die. Then the thing will not kill you. It will just stretch you. And you know, this, you are not with me. Are you following? This stretching that I'm talking about, it happens for a long time. The reason is because you are hardened. You are hardened in rebellion. How many of you have ever used clay to mold something? So when you bring clay out of its original habitat, it is strong. Sometimes you even need to pound it. When you pound it, you add some water. Then the elasticity begins to come out. When the elasticity begins to come out, the potter will blow it. Pound it. Pound again. You will keep pounding until the clay becomes tired. It is when the clay becomes tired that it can be used to make the beautiful things that we see that they use clay to do. I have good news for you. God will not stop pounding you until you are tired. Now, what Apostle Paul was trying to describe here, he said we were pressed beyond measure. We were pressed above strength. We were pressed until we began to despair of life. That is suggestive of the fact that they are tired. You know, when we finished Bible school, we were going to succeed, you know? What they taught us in Bible school, they taught us about success, about how you can use your faith to conquer nations, how you can use your decrees to establish what you want. You see, I thank God for all my Bible school lecturers. But your capacity in faith is not necessary to establish what you want. I give respect to my lecturers. The purpose of faith is not to establish what you want. In fact, the Holy Spirit is not willing to furnish faith on your heart. If what you are believing God for is not within the scope of the will of God, you are not following me. There are things that are superior to faith. Just like there are things that are superior to prayer. Prayer is secondary. The first thing, the primary thing, is the will of God. In fact, your prayer is accurate to the will, to the degree to which it is inclined to the will of God. I did not know that what they taught me was wrong until I had dealings. Our faith masters told us, because Jesus said, if you have faith as small as the seed of a mustard, and you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and you do not doubt in your heart, you will have whatsoever you say. And our faith master now said, if English means anything, it means anyone can get anything if he has faith. I picked that up. I went to a car shop, saw a BMW. It was blue in color. He just came, they just imported it into the car shop. And I went there and said, no man will buy you until I have money to come and take you. And in all sincerity, I spoke by faith. I did not doubt in my heart. I believed what I said. But that was the first car that they sold. You are not. That was the first car they sold. So I went back to the Bible. What did I do wrong? You know what I did wrong? Everything I was believing for was because of me. Faith works by love. You see, love takes you beyond you. Faith worketh. How does it work? You are not for good. Okay. Let me leave you. Are you there? So if it's a temptation that has come from the devil, God will not allow you to be tempted much more than you have capacity. A temptation comes from the devil, a dealing comes from God. God will be the one to lead you to that place where the dealing is. Just like he led you into your marriage. You were sure that he led you. He also led Jesus too, to the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The dealing is captured in divine direction. You will be sure that it's God that is leading you. But you will not like the dealing. You want to escape, but you will know that. Hey, but God was behind this thing. Then your understanding becomes unfruitful. Say, this thing does not make sense. I thought we were told that if it is good, then it is God. I thought we were told that everything that God does is good to us. What is this one? It's actually good to you. It is God trying to bring you to a point where you'll be useful to him. In the state that you are useless to him. Your mindset is wrong. You have confidence in your flesh. You have confidence in your wisdom. And in order for God to deliver you, he will bring you to a point where he stretches you for a long time until you become tired. Your confidence in yourself will die. Listen to me. Listen very well. When I was in the university, there was nobody that I ever saw, met, that has the capacity to cram. Do you know what cramming means? Okay, you know what it means?
Yes.
Cramming. I was the master of cramming. I could cram textbooks and recite it. I could cram handouts and recite it. Now, when I see my colleagues studying and they have problems retaining what they have studied, I tell them that they are cursed. It's a sign of a curse. There was no man as proud as I was. And my pride was anchored on my mental capacity. I know that if I spend 5 minutes to read, I will get more than what you get if you spend 50 minutes to read. So I don't read. And I preach. When I finish preaching,
it's
2 days to the test.
I'll
cram it. In fact, I started one time to cram the New Testament. Yes. I'll just start quoting. As all the time I was in the university, I saw no one that had that ability more than me. So, when God wanted to help me, what he did was that he allowed me crown. Then I entered the exam hall. Then I forgot everything. Forgot everything. I come from a family of scholars. For us, knowledge was something. You had to be knowledgeable. So, for it to be, I started reading newspapers when I was like 3 years, 4 years old. 3 years old. Yes. Newspapers. Discussing politics. Yes. Oh. I had a gift from God. And I knew that I had it more than every man I met. And my pride was anchored on it. And when God wanted to help me, He allowed my confidence to fail. There is no death that is more painful than that death. The death of seeing that your confidence doesn't have capacity. And as long as I had confidence in myself, I was not qualified for spiritual knowledge. And my calling was a calling in the arena of spiritual knowledge. So God was desperate to destroy the confidence that I had in myself. And the only way that will happen is if I fail. And because of my mental capacity, I cannot fail. The first time in my life, I died because I failed. You know what? After the exam finished and I came out, I remembered everything. So I said, a demon has been dispatched to destroy me. I went to the field. I did all night prayer. I crammed again. I went in. I forgot. You know, when you fail a major course, you will come for carryover. It was a taboo for me to be in a carryover class. I was wondering how I will sit there. In fact, I went and bought dark goggles. You know goggles? So that I will be able to face a carryover enter. You are not with me. A spirit was involved. That was the journey to Asia. God will deal with you until He takes your confidence away. Then the only confidence that you will have will be Him. That was how I became a teacher of the kingdom. When God became my confidence, He showed me what... You know, I wanted to be a lecturer. That was what I wanted. The reason why I wanted to be a lecturer is because I wanted to cram the notebook and then just come to the class with my hand in the pocket. Then I give them notes from my head, give them structures from my head, give them assignments because I can cram it. So that's how I felt that I could use my capacity. And after the dealings were accomplished, God told me that of all the things written about you, being a lecturer is not one of them. It's okay, so why did you give me this gift? It's so that I can teach the body of Christ the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Now, many of you have received a gift from God, but you want to use the gift in your own way. You have received an endowment from God, and you have now gone to ascertain the market value of the endowment. So that you can deploy it in the most market valuable way. God will arrest you before you will succeed. If you are still here, say amen. I say if you are still here, say amen. When I was in the carryover class, people would be looking through the window to see me with my goggles. I died in those classes. To go to the notice board and see that I made an F. It is only by the grace of God that I was still standing. Because I was supposed to fall down and be taken to the hospital, intensive care unit with drip. Paul said we despaired of life. The reason for the despair was that God touched the nerve of their confidence. When the nerve of your confidence is touched, the feeling is like dying. Especially for ladies, you believe that your confidence is in your beauty. Then you go to a place where your beauty will not be acknowledged forever. See, this is not me, the queen of nations. And it is God that led you there. It's the hand of God that is behind you arriving at that place. In fact, the reason why you are despised is even because of the way you are looking. All the women there despise you. until it comes to a point where you die to the confidence that you have in that your capacity. Paul said, this happened, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raises the dead. So you move from self, and you move into God. You move from me, you move into the Holy Spirit. That's when you will know the ministry of the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmities. If you are still with me, say amen.
Amen.
Alright, so you are getting me gradually. We were trying to profile the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. And the lessons that are to be learned from the encounter that Jesus had with the devil. The lessons are in three categories. But we were trying to handle the first category. First category has six parts. And it's deep. It's deep.
Hallelujah.
So we saw that when Satan came to Jesus, the first probe that he brought on Jesus was about his identity. That's the first probe. If thou be the Son of God, I don't know the name that God has called you, but you are going to be ridiculed the most in the area of that name that God has called. When in the place of prayer God told me that he has called me as an apostle to nations, and that the mantle that I'm going to inherit is global, meaning that my voice will be relevant to people beyond my tribe, beyond my nation, beyond my continent. That was what God told me. And he told me this at the age of 16. So I went to my pastor. I asked my pastor, who is an apostle? He used some scriptures. Explained. Says from the Greek word apostolos, which means a sent one, messenger that Jesus sends for a specific purpose in a generation. Because it is directly commissioned from Jesus and sent forth, he will be multi gifted. He can operate like an evangelist. He can operate like a prophet. He can operate like a teacher. All the powers of the Christos are going to be manifest through his life. When he finished giving me the definition, he warned me very seriously. He said, don't ever say you are one of them. The question I asked him did not include whether or not I was one. I was just asking him for clarity about the office of the apostle. After answering, he gave me a stern warning. Don't ever say you are one of them. So even my pastor did not believe in my apostolic calling. So what I did was that I stopped communicating with him about my calling. I was an usher by the door. And were those ones in the congregation that when people are sleeping, we'll come and, when they are sleeping, we'll come and touch them. And the moment they wake up from sleep, they will say, "Hey, I was in a vision. I was seeing heaven. Glory was appearing before you came." So we need to state. We are sorry. It was not your intention to stop you from entering into the light. So I was an usher. Very lean because of fasting. If you see me, I was like an AIDS victim. I'm looking okay now. Because of fasting. I stopped counting the number of days I fasted. So if you look at me naturally, I was not looking good. And you will not think that anything good can come out of my life. But the one that spoke to me, his name is Jesus. And he told me that he had given me an apostolic calling. When Satan will use the people you respect to make you doubt the name that Jesus has called
you.
I was so sure that Jesus has spoken to me. And it doesn't matter who did not agree with me. My deal was with Jesus. My arrangement was with Jesus. My covenant was with Jesus. Now don't get it wrong, my pastor wasn't a bad man. But he didn't believe that I could be an apostle. And his unbelief about my calling did not change anything. The second place of testing was among my relatives. They were unbelievers. Not just normal unbelievers. They were in transactions with demons. So if I come around and I was very loud about my faith. Yeah, I was not ashamed of my faith. I had done my research on the religions of the world. And I have come to the conclusion of the fact that any intellectually alive human being should be a Christian. And I have my evidences. Yeah, I studied wide, trust me. I studied wide. And it is intellectually accurate. That is, if your brain is still working, if there is still reason inside of you, after you have studied all the religions, you will know that the only real one is Christianity. And I say that without an apology. It is from a researched opinion as a scholar that I make that statement. So, standing before these, my relatives that have dealings with devils, they tried as much as possible to ridicule the fact that I was a preacher of Jesus. Because Satan will attack the name that God has called. Jesus was called the Son of God at the baptism of John. The first thing that Satan attacked was his identity from heaven. So if you are ashamed of that identity, you will lose it and become something else. But I held on to my conviction. Even though there was no space, among my people for it to manifest. Everyone felt I was a misfit, especially when they began to see evidences like the way this guy is going. He might end up being a full-time minister. The last blessing my father gave me before he died was that he watched my life. He saw that my commitment to God was real. So he came to me early in the morning. I didn't know he was going to die. He said, I permit you to be that preacher that God has called you to be. I give you the license. But unfortunately, he gave me that license in private. It would have been more efficacious because he was the eldest in the family. If he had called all my uncles, called everybody, and said, today, I permit my son to do the work of the ministry. Leave him alone. Ah! 80% of my problems would have been solved if he had brought that public endorsement on my life, but in the private. Now, my brothers and sisters listening to me now, I know they are listening. This will be the first time that they will hear that my father actually called me and say, I release you. You will see how many hours I'm praying in a day. There was a Bible he came back with from America. Every time he's looking for the Bible, it's not where he used to keep it. That was the only study Bible we had at home. It was on my table. I studied it from night to morning. He will come in the night to check. I'm still studying. He watched, observed me like that for about 5 years before he called me. Say, yes, I see. There is something burning on your heart. Even though we don't understand it. But I release you to become everything that is burning on your heart. When I went to the university, before I studied my books in chemistry, I must study the Bible. If you don't, I've lost count of the number of Bibles that I finished. From back to back. Lost count. Those days there were no Bible softwares. The only like Bible aid we had was Strong Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. That big one. So if you want to study a subject with that strong manually, it will take you 7 hours just to bring out all the truth about faith. It will take you 7 hours. So study took time. Because I knew what God wanted me to be. And no matter the attempts that Satan will throw at me, it will not make me deny what I have with God. Many of us have denied what you have with God. Little pressure came. It looked as if you were not socially correct. Being a Christ person. So you have to adjust. Even in politics, you will find our brothers. They can come to church and do Thanksgiving. But in the political front, they will take a politically accepted move. That's denial. You cannot operate in denial and expect that the capacity of God will be maximized. If thou be Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, the first thing he attacked was his identity. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you from the Lord? Is that the identity you sustain today? Or you have become another man entirely? The second thing that Satan brought to Jesus, what Satan elevated. Satan attempted to elevate.
Shetani alijaribu kuinua.
To elevate Jesus' personal need.
Kuinua uhitaji wa Yesu binafsi.
Above the will of God for his life.
Kinyume na mapenzi ya Mungu.
Because after Jesus had fasted and prayed for 40 days.
Baada ya Yesu kufunga na kuomba siku 40.
He was hungry.
Alipata njaa.
And Satan came.
Shetani akaja.
And exalted.
Na akainua.
The desires of the flesh.
Ile hali ya uhitaji wa mwili.
And said, if it is true that you are the Son of God, there should be some authority that has been assigned to you to operate that office as the Son of God. Why not use that authority to turn these stones into bread so that you can satisfy your hunger? The motivation is the lust of your flesh. So Satan was exalting the lust of his flesh as something to pursue. Are you there? Just like I told you, for me, I wanted to be a lecturer, and I told you why. It was because of a carnal reason. I wanted to show the world that I was a modicum of knowledge. Put my hand in my pocket and give notes from my head. And then everybody will say, that guy is a great guy. The guy is a sharp guy. Satan will always want you to pursue the flesh. But Jesus refused to pursue the agenda of the flesh. I need to ask you something. I need to ask you something quickly. Why do you do what you do? You know, I told you yesterday, 3 of my pastors left me. The reason why they left me was because they were expecting me to use the anointing of my life to generate money. And I refused. So they said, no, this guy, he doesn't know how to manage greatness. Meanwhile, if you use the anointing to turn the stones to bread, instantly you will become under Satan's authority. If Jesus had done that, he would have said to God the Father, you sent Adam and I dealt with him. You sent Jesus and I dealt with him. Send another one. That's what he would have said.
So I've seen preachers of the gospel with a genuine anointing upon them. But they turn stones to bread. They use the anointing as a means to manipulate people to satisfy the desires of the flesh. It's a genuine anointing, but it's administered for the wrong purpose. If you continue that way, demons will take over that ministry. Because it is using spiritual resources to gratify the desires that are rooted in the flesh. Turn these stones into bread. What's the second temptation? Third temptation? That is still in that group one. Are you there? Satan wanted Jesus to operate, to exercise his will apart from the will of the Father. Satan wanted Jesus to have an independent position from the Father. There were 18 descriptions of the life of Christ in the book of Matthew. 18 descriptions. Are you there? No, not in the book of Matthew, in the book of John. The book of Matthew is the book of the kingdom. Jesus appears in the book of Matthew as a king. Matthew uses a phrase that is only peculiar to Matthew in the entire Bible. The kingdom of heaven. If you read it from the Greek, it is the kingdom of the heavens. Only Matthew uses that phrase. And he uses it for 33 times. Making Matthew the book of the kingdom. Just in case you want to know how people that are sold out to the government of God are supposed to operate, then the book of Matthew will be your textbook. And there are 19 things captured in that book about the life and times of kingdom men. The book of John is a book of life. In fact, the thesis that is captured in the book of John is supposed to be a revelation of how a man will live his life if he had the very life that God had. That was what happened in Jesus. Jesus had the life of God, but he operated in a vessel of man. And there were 18 things that his life revealed that no man could do. One of them was that he dwelt in God and God dwelt in him. Are you there? Stay with me. You know, this conference, I'm still testing you in this conference whether you are hungry. It is the next one we'll start teaching. This one is a test to see if there is any hunger in you. Because many of you don't think that the Bible is intellectual. There are depths in Scripture. In fact, I can show you, if death is coming to you, I can show you Scriptures. Things you need to do that you will live longer than you intended. I found it in the Bible. But you see, it's not for conferences like this. It's for wise men. I found many secrets in the Bible. Things that I will not preach in public. Found it there. Now listen to me. Satan wanted Jesus to operate apart from God. Apart from his Father. You know, Jesus has his own will. Father has his own will. The Spirit of God has his own will. Are you there? I say, are you there? But when Jesus came in flesh as a man, he came under the authority of his Father. If you were there here yesterday, I explained to you how that he was a theater that manifested the will of his Father. Because his own will was surrendered to under the will of his Father. So his own will never featured. His own will never showed. The first and the only time that his own will showed was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That was where we discovered that he had a will. Are you following me? Are you following? That was when we discovered that he had a will. He was laboring. He said, if it is possible, you are a God of wisdom. There's no limit to your capacity. If it is possible for this cup to pass away from you, if it is possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was the only time we saw that Jesus had a will that was different from the will of his Father. And are you there? Even though Jesus had a preference of how he wanted things to turn out, he still submitted his own will under his Father's will. Because he was a theater that gave perspective to the will of his Father. So if you look at Jesus, everything he did, the origin of those things were not him. The origin of those things were his Father. So he will say that my doctrine is not mine. He will say, I can do nothing of myself. It's only what I see the Father doing. That's what I get to do. So if you look at Jesus, read about Jesus. Everything Jesus said and did was actually his Father that was doing it. Because his will was inconsequential. His will was subordinate to the will of his Father. His will was surrendered under the will of his Father. He operated 100% under the influence of the authority of his Father. So when Satan showed up, Satan wanted Jesus to operate apart from God. Say, God is spirit. Your Father is spirit. But you are in the flesh now, and you are hungry. Your Father doesn't know hunger because he's spirit. But you know hunger. And as the Son of God, there is requisite authority in your hand that you command. Your office gives you access to authority. Take advantage of that authority. Turn these stones into bread. And he never gave any recourse to what the will of the Father was. That was the third test. Now, this sixth test I'm telling you is under category one. Moses was considered an epitome of a prophet. Because every time Moses came out, he brought the perspective of God. And Moses was so synchronized with God that he was considered to be one with God. And the children of Israel could not discern when it was Moses that was acting or when it was God that was acting, because he was always one with God. Until the time came when Moses was instructed to strike the rock once, what did he do? He struck twice. Moses was the shadow of the messianic spirit. So if Moses as a shadow has struck the rock twice, the consequence of that error was that he had complicated the sufferings of Jesus. And because of that, God felt there was a need to prove that he was not the one at work in Moses when Moses rebelled. Are you there? Moses acted apart from him. So God had to judge Moses so that it would be clear that he was not the one at work. Are you there? The next time you hear a preacher say, you cannot argue with proof. That doctrine is a doctrine of devils. Because Moses had results. Oh, okay. You don't want the word of God. Okay, let me leave you. Moses, when he struck the rock, water came out. So Moses had proof. May you not run on the theology of proof. Satan can give you proof. Moses was in rebellion, but he had proof to show. The water stayed
gushing.
Oh, you know, I said, I'm trying to test us whether we are actually ready for deep kingdom matters. What I'm doing is a test. It's a basic test. Christianity, I hope I told you that Africa is the hope of Christianity. Not according to prophecy, according to statistics. Statistics has revealed that we, the African church, has the capacity to multiply our numbers 33 times over in the next 100 years. So the hope of Christianity is on the continent of Africa. The object of my labor on the continent of Africa is to ensure that is genuine Christianity that is on ground. Because a lot of philosophies came into the body of Christ that are unbiblical. And because we did not have sufficient depth, we could not discern it. A lot of loose statements have been made as quotable quotes in the course of preaching, which doesn't point to the mind of God, but it points to the philosophy of demons. Don't be a victim of results. As powerful as results are, it's not every result that comes from God. It's not every preacher that is born again. Now, that preacher that is not born again can have results, and people will be hailing him. He will gather disciples unto himself, but he's not leading any one of them to God. Are you there? Now, all kinds of abuse can be taking place, and people can be smiling false smiles before cameras, and you think that there's something really happening, and it can bring results through lying wonders and miracles. But there's no God in the center of what is happening. Listen to me. Moses, in rebellion, he had results to show. And I'm not saying that God does not produce results, but the nature of God's results is totally different from the nature of Satan's results. If my results is coming from God, it will make me not want to lose my relationship with God. So you will see how passionate I am to safeguard my relationship with God. If someone's result is coming from somewhere else, the person can play with his relationship with God because his results are not coming from God. His results are not from God. So I came to say you can argue with results. Preach for me, preach to your neighbor for me. You can argue with results. We need to ask you, the money you say you have, how did you get that money? Because when I was in the petroleum industry, you are not following me. I was not always a full-time preacher. I was in the petroleum industry in my nation. And you must have heard about people that work in the petroleum industry. We are not poor. You are not following me. I was not poor. I had much money. My house rent, half of my salary could pay my house rent for 1 year. Are you there? I could walk to the car shop and buy a car. Every month my salary is paid.
Yes.
So I was not a poor man. Meanwhile, in the line of duty, I had opportunity to make so much dollars, so much money, that I would have had more money than the governor of my province. But that money will not have its source in God. The money will be results, but I will need to violate God in order to make those results. A time came in the body of Christ where we began to teach prosperity without godliness. Meanwhile, the prosperity of the Bible cannot be separated from godliness. So we started preaching prosperity without godliness. That's one of the doctrines of devils. And we generated quotable quotes that are consistent with that emphasis and error. If we don't come back to the Bible, our children will serve Baal. Hallelujah. Now that I know my purpose, I thank God I did not let you. Okay. Bishop, at least you know. The way I preach now, you know that someone that is not accurate will not like me. So I have many enemies in this world. The reason why I'm still alive is because my friend, even the Holy Ghost, is stronger than my enemies. And I don't need to tell you the things I've been through. Just taking the Bible and confronting our philosophies that have their roots in demonic concepts. They've been whitewashed. They look innocent. But those are philosophies that are not rooted in the ways of the. And if you don't have an encounter, you'll not be able to see error. Are you with me? Even in the ministry, I will have invitations to go to places. I know that if I go there, after preaching for 3 days, they'll give me $5,000. That's the equivalent. But identifying with this man, in my own opinion, this man is not in the service of God. So if I decide to join myself with him, it will be because I have despised my relationship with God. I've lost trust in God, that God cannot support my life. That's why I need to break my values in order to help myself. Satan wanted Jesus to operate apart from his Father. Satan wanted Jesus to be more concerned about his current situation, much more than the position of his Father. And that's what Satan will do to every one of us. He wants to make you more conscious of your challenge than God's will. So you will become desperate. And you will jump at any solution that appears, even if God is in it or not. The moment you do that your lust, that your need, will become the motivation that will take you to make covenants with Satan. Who is your God? Because if you tell me that you are working in the bank, that's the reason why you cannot pray 1 hour a day. I will tell you that the work I did in the oil industry is 4 times more difficult than what you did. And we do it day and night. And it is 7 days a week. We don't have Saturdays, we don't have Sundays. You don't work in the bank on Sunday. You don't work in the bank on Saturday. We work every day of the week, including Sundays and public holidays. For 7 years, I had no leave. The leave existed on paper. But anywhere I traveled to, I would still be doing my job for 7 years. My job was mentally tasking and physically tasking. And there are parts of the job that you need to do fasting. I'm not saying for spiritual purposes. In order for you to do this job, you need to fast. I know you don't believe me. If you are going, some of the tanks we climb is bigger, is taller than this building. To climb that tank, to fiscalize, you need to go there fasting. Because if you eat, you will faint. Have you seen a job that people do, a physical job, but they fast to do it? And I was still praying 8 hours in a day. I was praying in tongues on the tanks, fasting on the tanks. drain in tongues in buses. That's why I didn't drive myself. I was using the buses. You know, in order for the kind of money I had, it was a taboo to use buses, but I feel by the instruction of the Lord that I should use buses for 7 years. I used buses for 7 years. The reason for that choice, the reason God made a choice for me was so that I could have a driver. Then I can focus my spirit. I was doing 4 hour tongues in buses. So I had my job, the job was going on, but my spiritual life was kept as the priority of my life. There were openings for bribes that came, bribes in dollars that I had to reject because of what I had with Jesus. Satan will want you to violate God in order for you to settle yourself, and in that process you will lose your stronghold. I waited for God. I waited for him. He said he will make me great. I waited for him to make me great. I refused to make myself great. We had cameras like this, videoing what I was preaching. We refused to put them online until God told me, put it now. So it was not me that was trying to promote myself. Every step I took, I can trace it to what God said that made me take this step. Because your life in the spirit is supposed to be a story that God is telling from heaven. As long as you walk in the spirit, your life is revealing a story. God is telling a story. But when you begin to walk in the flesh, the story is distorted. It lacks its bearing, lacks its reference. What is the story that God is telling through your life? In me, the spirit of Jesus is the teacher. He's a teacher, bringing instructions to the people of God among the nations of the world. Hallelujah.
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 These stones into bread. I waited for him. Sometimes the devil will create an illusion of haste in your heart, and then you are trying to prove to your neighbors that you are not failing. You are trying to prove to the other pastor that you are not failing. That we are the guys that are reigning in Dar es Salaam. Betrayed him long ago. You betrayed him long ago. In the deal that he has with you, you are not the one that is supposed to promote yourself. He has an agenda for your promotion. Yes, that agenda is part of what he wants to accomplish in your life. But you have become hasty. So you have developed strategies. You have developed systems to promote yourself apart from the promotions of God. When I look back, I see the things that God did to promote me. Came for a conference, began to preach. And then the people came to me in the night. We're sorry. We want you to be in a breakfast meeting tomorrow morning. Because they were afraid if I were reject. Because I reject. This breakfast meeting is politicians are coming there. I said, okay. Let me go and look for Jesus. And in the night, I woke up. I waited for my wife to sleep. I love her so much. So I wanted her to rest. When she, I pretended as if I was sleeping so that she can sleep. So when she slept, I woke up. I say, Jesus, where are you? The kings are looking for you. They need direction. Where are you? What are you saying? I continue like that for 2 hours. 2 hours, 45 minutes. Then Jesus comes. I say, I'm here. I said, this man that is coming, who is he? He said, when you get there, call him David. He is going to be the king of that nation. This is what I want him to do. Are you following? This is how the elections will go. So the next day, we came for the breakfast meeting. I took my Bible. I began to do a teaching. And I brought the teaching to a point. And I began to give the utterance. My enemies copied that video. They were waiting for the walls to fail so that the whole Facebook global will know that there's a false prophet in Nigeria. You know what? It came to pass. It came to pass to the letter. So I was now thinking, how did I even get there? It is the Lord I wanted to. I had those gifts in the village. Stay with me. No. I had those gifts in the village. When I was in the village, I used to prophesy. So to pick the mind of God and to tell people is not a big deal for me. It's not a big deal. But that day, God made it a big deal. We went to another nation. They took me to one office. They said, this man is believing God for this position. And I asked him, I said, are you there? Are you around? He said, yes, I'm here. What are you saying? He gave me a scripture. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea, from the river unto the edge of the earth. And the tribes of the desert, they shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. So I stood up. I said, you are going there. Because God has given me this scripture. As true as this scripture is, that's how true it is that you will be appointed. In 2 weeks' time, he got their appointment. Are you there? Then I now wonder. I said, how did we even get to that place? It was because God wanted to. Oh, I've seen people afflicted for many years. They have traveled around the world to look for healing. Went to Germany, went to Spain, went to the United States, went to England. No healing. A heart condition. And then they come for a meeting like this, and God gives them a new heart. But you will not know that. Meanwhile, in the village, people used to get healed. But there are times when God uses the little services that you render becomes the platform to bring you into lamplight, and He's doing it by Himself. I've seen the Lord lift me up. And the way He lifts men up, no man can lift himself like that. So wait for Him. Wait for Jesus. Jesus has a plan for your life. In the name of Jesus. I've seen it. Men have come to inquire of the Lord from my mouth. But one thing I discover is somebody wants something and they think, and God is saying no. They don't like that one. They don't like it. They invited me somewhere. So we want to contest for an election. What is God saying? I said, give me time. I went to pray. Then I had a vision. I saw that the man was moving. Stumbled on a stone and fell down. I told him, don't waste your money. You will not win. He was angry. So that's why when I go on those trips, I go with my transport money. Because when they are angry, they will not transport you back. So be equipped. Be equipped. 2 weeks after what I told him, his cousin also stood up to contest for the same election. The people got angry and said, is it only this family that wants to produce all the political leaders? So no, the people rejected them. I've seen the law. I know how he raises me. Jesus was willing to wait for his father. Are you there? So I'm going to read one verse. Then I will stop.
Luke
19, verse
24.
What's the time? Okay.
So
let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 4.
To read the chapter of Matthew.
This is Jesus' response to the devil. It is written, man, humankind, shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Stay with me, stay with me. You see, when you study your Bible in the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the heavens, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Alright?
So,
this is what God said. But I hope you know Jesus was in that meeting. That let us. That is Elohim. That is the quadrant of the Godhead. Inclusive of the Father. Inclusive of the Son. Inclusive of the Holy Spirit. Are you there? So if there is anybody qualified to give us an insight into the dream that God had for man, it will be only those three personalities that are in the us. So Jesus, in seven scriptures, he revealed to us the man that they conceived in their heart. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 5, we see the first description of man. It says, man, the man we conceived, the man we had an intention to create, the blueprint for man, the design for man. Are you there? Is that he will not live by bread only, but man will live by the proceeding word of God. Stop, let me explain what that means. You are not following me. Are you following me? Are you here with me? The man that we conceived, the design for man that we proposed, one of among seven of those designs is that man shall not live by bread alone. His physical aspect will be sustained by bread. The direction of his life will be sustained by the word that proceeds from God. Now, this is what I want to ask you. What I want to ask you is this. What you are doing now, how did you start it? You are running a business. How did you start that business? You just looked at the statistics, felt the terrain was good for it, and then you jumped into it. You are going to bear the burden of your liabilities alone. The way man was designed to operate was by the proceeding word of God. If I have my diaries here, I will show you that in 2002, God said this. Because he said this, that's why I'm doing this. I can trace every move to a proceeding word. If that is not the case for you, you jump like a tornado. Not because God has spoken, but you believe it's best for you. You are going many, many miles away from alignment. Because the design for man is that he will live, he will function by the proceeding word of God. I went to a country. I arrived at 3 a.m. in the morning. I was hungry. Because the food they gave us on the plane, I could not eat it. So, when we landed, we moved to town, came into a hotel, and I called the restaurant. I said, "Do you guys have food?" The guy was speaking Indian language. I was speaking English. He spoke Indian. So, that means there was no communication. So I came into the restaurant myself. He brought a menu. The menu was written in Indian language. So I picked one of the items. Just pick at random. Not by the spirit. I just... And the guy brought the thing. It was green. The thing was green in color. And when I put it in my mouth, I've never seen a tasteless thing like that in my life. I had to spit it out. I said, "What is this?" Then the guy gathered all the English in his blood, the ones in his face, the ones in his chromosomes. He gathered all the English and said, it's drug that is healthy food. If I eat, it's tasteless, but it is healthy. So I told him I'm not sick. What I want is food, not medicine. At the end of the day, I could not eat that food. Without hunger and anger, I was going to my room. The moment I opened that room, the walls began to give light. And Jesus was about to come from the wall. I laid down with my head down. The light, if you dare look at it, you'll be blind. The intensity, meanwhile, I've been praying for five years for that encounter. That was the reason why he didn't want me to eat. That's why the man there, we could not communicate. He didn't want me to eat. So I came to the room and I laid on the ground. I fell on the ground. Jesus came and passed close to me. The light was intense. You know what he said to me? The youth. This was 2009. The youth. Use your power of insight that I've given unto you to deliver them from destruction. And I will open the gates of nations to you. It was 9 minutes instruction. When I left that country, I went back to Nigeria. I started going from campus to campus, holding youth campaigns, youth meetings, young people giving their life to Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving fire. I went around Nigeria 6 times in about 10 to 12 years. I think 12 years. It's 10 to 12. All right? 10 to 12 years. I was going everywhere. That's how I went to my wife's campus. And that's how I'm married to her today. I went from campus to campus. I was in the oil industry, so I had enough money to pay for my tickets. I was on the next plane out of my station to go preach in the crusade. On the other plane, I will move by canoe, move by bus, move by car, move by flight. 2009, 16th of August. 2019, 16th of August. That's about 10 years from the encounter. I come to this city to do a youth conference. I entered into my hotel room. I noticed that the Holy Spirit was about to come. So I drew all the people in the room. I said, thank you, get out. I closed the door and I knelt down. And Jesus came. See, I've come to set you free. So the minimum of my life for 10 years was what Jesus told me for 9 seconds. That was the reason why I spent money the way I spent it. People say I was mad. They say I was crazy. That who does youth ministry? There's no money in youth ministry. It's not sustainable. You are mad. And these were preachers telling me that I was mad. Ministers of the gospel were the ones telling me. And meanwhile, some of them that told me I was mad, I met their children in on campus. It was through my ministration they gave their life to Christ and cried under the fire. But they say I was mad. But the one that is responsible for my madness is Jesus. He's the one that gave me the proceeding word. What proceeding word is undergirding your life now? If there is nothing, you are living in limbo. Your life doesn't strike any chord in the realm of the spirit. August 16th, 2019. He came again. They have come to set you free. So that where I am, there also with my servant be. I told him, you've never spoken to me in parables before. He did not answer me. And he walked away. That time, he did not come with that intense light. He was approachable. I could talk to him. Are you there? He walked away. And I've known by experience that if God comes to you speaking in parables, it means He's calling you to the place of prayer. So I began to pray. What do you mean that you have come to set me free? Who told you I'm in bondage? I'm not in bondage. I'm in the oil industry. In fact, I'm even close to becoming a manager. And they will give me a big table. Big table like this. And my voice will change to bass. Bass voice.
Hallelujah.
Because of money. I said, what do you mean? I prayed for 1 year. In fact, there was times I went to hotels, booked, entered to fast, pray. He will not speak. I went for 3 days. Prayer. Fasting. Didn't speak. So I was going for a crusade to preach. And Jesus comes into the car. Then he sees it. He said, when will your passport expire? I say, on the 28th of September 2020. Yes. So that day, your job will expire. You know, do you know the meaning of what he said? It was just 2 weeks for me to become manager. I'll write an exam that will take a lecture for 1 week. Write an exam for the other week. I know I will pass. I don't fail. Then I have the big table. The dream of anyone that works in the oil industry is that big table. You don't know that table. You don't know the table. I needed that table. 2 weeks to the table. He said, your job has expired. So what he meant by that parable, I've come to set you free. It was freedom from my job. Because he told me that if I'm faithful in preaching to the youth, that he will open the gates of nations to me. And there was no way I'll be preaching in the nations and doing that job. So he was asking me to resign. On the 5th of October, 2020. That's how many days after the expiry. I went and tendered my resignation. My colleagues that know that I'm a preacher, they said those demons have been casting in the crusade. Finally, manipulated my life. But the one manipulating my life, his name was Jesus. Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
And that's how he opened the gates of nations. Today I'm in Tanzania. The gates of nations. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. What is your word? What did it tell you? You've not been receiving words. You married without a word? Started business without words? You have no insurance. Because the one that sent me, his name is Jesus. I know the spot I was in Dubai when Jesus spoke to me. I know the spot I was on campus when God spoke to me. I know the spot I was in northern Nigeria when Jesus spoke to me. And today I was walking on the beach of the Indian Ocean in Tanzania, and Jesus came again and he spoke to me today. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What Jesus was saying is this: bread cannot be the reason why I move. Hunger cannot be the reason why I move. If you see me move, it is because God has spoken. If you see me act, it's because God has spoken. I will never move because of circumstances. I will never move because of situations. I will never move because of the weather. If you see me move, it's because God has spoken. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's how the nations opened to me. From Ghana to South Africa, to Zimbabwe, to Tanzania, to Kenya, to Uganda, to the United Kingdom, to Austria, to Netherlands, to Switzerland. It opened. I'm not saying people referred me to people. I'm not saying I went to a senior minister and say, can you connect me to France so that I can preach in France? No. I'll be sitting at home. Invitations that I cannot fulfill in 1 year will come, because I am operating by the proceeding word of God. I can give account of my life, what is responsible for what I do, the reason for which I preached, the reason for which I prayed, the reason for which I prophesied. I can give account by the word of God. We are going to pray tonight. Pray tonight. You know, I said, the Lord said he will open the womb of barren women. And whenever I say, thus saith the Lord, I don't say it casually. No. To me, it's not casual. If I say it, thus saith the Lord, it will come to pass. Because I don't consider speaking for God to be an ordinary thing. There is no need for me to say thus said. I don't have anything to prove to you. I've been delivered from proving things to people. Wait for God to exalt his name. But the Lord God of heaven spoke to me. Said he will open the wombs of women that desire children. He will open it this night. And listen to me. We need to pray tonight. We need to pray that God will cause us not to be men that live by bread alone, but people that respond to the sound of the voice of God. If you understand that prayer, you can rise on your feet. I want to be such a man, such a woman that responds to the sound of God. to the sound of God. To the sound of God. I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. Somebody needs to cry to him that your voice will be the reason for my choices. Your voice will be the reason for my prayers. Your voice will be the reason for my actions. That my situation will not have as much authority to make me act. I will only act because of your voice. My circumstances will not have enough authority to determine my response. My response will be because of the voice of God. Someone needs to cry to him right now. Make me such a man that will only respond to the voice of God. Cry to him. Cry to him. Cry to him. Cry to him. Sacadores. shall be open. Before I begin to minister, I still want us to pray. Make it easy for me to hear your voice. Because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Make it easy for me to pick your voice. Make it easy for me to hear your voice. Can we pray? Can we pray? Can we pray? And plead with him in this prophetic conference that he will open our hearing. Open up our hearing. Make it easy for us to access your voice, to access your wisdom. Make it easy for us to comprehend our moments, our times. Make it easy. Bestow your grace upon us. Cause us to hear you. Thank you. begin to function in an accurate way. Bring into pass your counsel for our life. Cause our ears, our hearing, to be healed in the name of Jesus. I see in the spirit there is someone standing in the congregation. God is healing your hearing. There's an anointing that is being deposited upon your life to enhance your hearing. Receive that anointing. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Stronger. Receive the anointing to pick his counsel, to pick his frequency, to pick his frequency in the name of Jesus. Somebody's spiritual ear is opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. It's opening. I see a restoration. Someone that has lost the glory of God. And I feel it.
Literal fire.
Burning inside the womb. It will burn out everything. Resisting conception. She will be made fruitful even in this service. I want to pray a brief prayer. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, tonight we thank you. We thank you because of your willingness to transform the lives of your people. And even tonight, I stand as your messenger to proclaim your counsel. And I speak to every womb, present here in this arena, every womb present online, the womb of those that seek to be fruitful. I come with the counsel of God. I say to the womb, be open. 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 In the name of Jesus. Ushers, if you notice a reaction, this is a deliverance case. Bring the person. Yes. Open. 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 Notice a reaction. You notice a reaction. Bring the person for deliverance. I command the womb open. Don't not dare. Bring. When the ushers start doing what they are doing, something else, it means we are not together. I break the yoke open. Who is giving them the directive? Open. 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 So I release fire into that womb. I release fire. 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 Burn up! there. Born in that womb. Open it up. I command fibroids to dry up. Fibroid, dry up. Open. I release fire there. Fire in that womb. The Lord sent me. Open. 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 I release fire. Let the fire come on it. Fibroids. Problem with the fallopian tubes. I release fire to recreate those tubes. Open! 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 I say open. Open. Don't start releasing children, but now they are rushing them. Don't discharge any patient without my. You are rushing. Come. Don't discharge any patient from this hospital. You too, yeah. Let me You are discharging patients. Don't discharge. Don't discharge. No patient should be discharged. Like this one now. The operation has not finished. Jesus is still working. Don't discharge any patient. Don't discharge. Don't discharge. Yeah.
Misha from Zimbabwe, come forward.
Where are you?
Misha.
Hello. Where is the person?
Misha from Zimbabwe.
Misha, talk about Zimbabwe.
Where's your wife? Some of your wombs are in the coven, and the angels are bringing it.
But like an audition.
Do not discharge any patient. Oh, in the name of the Lord. Next year we'll have a harvest of children. I command the wombs to be restored from where they were taken. Some time to walk before we demand for children. I'm just casting news. This is what I hear. Okay, we are going to call children. The number of people outside, then we'll add 4 to it. Cry to him. We ask for 27 children.
Tunaomba watoto 27.
We demand 27 children.
Tunaomba watoto 27.
27 children. 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 It's coming. 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 Receive. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Receive it. See another one. Release from heaven. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Receive it in the name of Jesus. From the water are challenging us. There's someone among these people whose bondage is from the water. And the spirits are saying, why are you troubling this lady? Why do you want her to become pregnant? I bind the forces of the water. I cut off their hands. Let that lady go. Let her 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 go. In the name of Jesus. So,
for you.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Deal.
I say let her go.
Let her watch her.
Let her go.
Watch her.
Let her go.
Watch her.
Uh-huh. Now. I release her own child. Let her womb become open to receive. Let it be open to receive. Be open to receive. Be open. 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 Receive it. I command every deposit through the mouth. Come out. Through them out. Come out. Through them out. Come out. There's somebody that has a deposit. The deposit is stopping conception. Now I say through them out. Come out. Through them out. Come out. Through them out. Come 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 out. life is closed. Your destiny is closed. Your ministry is closed. You have done everything you know to do. But it is closed. He said, open that which is closed. So in a moment of time, I will give a command. And anything that is closed in your life, it will be open. It will be open. It will be open. It will be open. In the name of open. It will be open. In the name of Jesus. Father, tonight, you said that I should open that which is closed today by the office of the call. By the anointing of the ordination, I command every closed life, every closed ministry, every closed financial life, every closed business, every closed calling, every closed womb, everything whatsoever that the enemy has closed, I command you, be open. 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 In the name of Jesus. A grave that is opening. A grave is opening. It's opening. That one in our midst that has been appointed unto death. I say death. Release. Release your captive. 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 Release! In the next 17 seconds, death will release her captive. Now just keep quiet. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Keep quiet. Death, release your captive. Release your captive. Release your captive. Release your captive. I come with the instruction to open. So I open the graves. And I command you, release your captive. Ushers, help me. There is someone I need to lay my hands on. The grave has swallowed that one. God sent me to open the grave, to remove that soul. Come,
Joe.
So let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go.
Watch it.
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 Go. 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 someone here.
Kuna mtu hapa.
You are a man.
Wewe ni mwanaume.
You are given charms. At the age of
13.
Because you were supposed to grow up to become the custodian of the shrine of your clan. You are given those charms at the age of
13.
Subsequently, you gave your life to Christ, destroyed the charm. But the Spirit has been following you
till
this day. It destroys the work of your hands. It fights with everything you do. The Lord has sent me to you. Come.
Joe.
Come.
Joe.
Come.
Joe.
Come.
Joe.
I will only say this twice. If you choose not to come, I have already relieved myself of the instruction I received. One more time. Come.
Joe.
Come.
Joe.
Come.
Joe.
He has refused, so I'm relieved from the oath. The oath I took to obey, I'm released from. You know, I don't insist that you come. I cannot like your deliverance more than you. When you suffer in the wilderness for another 25 years, it will occur to you
that we have heard
that you would have heard me preaching. I am not determined to help you, especially if you don't want to help yourself.
But
what God has asked me to do, I will say it. When you reject it, it will be your
problem.
Whether or not you come out, doesn't validate my ministry. I don't need you to answer to the call so that I can now receive validation that God has called me to be an apostle. I've gone past that. So that the foundations of goodness in the land will be destroyed. That's why I'm come. Powers of darkness in your clan, in your family, it will be humbled tonight. And from today, you will shine like the brightness of the firmament. The resistance that has kept your destiny under lock and key tonight, by the authority that is in the name of Jesus.
Oh,
I'm even seeing demons, and they are already agitated. Who can battle with Jesus? Who can fight with Jesus? Who can stand when he is standing? Even the black magicians of Africa, they bow to
him.
The sirens of the lake and the oceans, they hear his voice and they tremble. I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I destroy that power that has contended for your destiny. I destroy that power that has contended for your life. I say, come out of that hiding place. Stand as a man that God has raised out of darkness into his marvelous light. I empower you in the name of Jesus. Everything that was taken from you, I command the release. Sevenfold. Arise, shine! For your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Arise, shine! Your light is come. Your light is come. Your light is come. Your light is come. No force of darkness will be able to resist you. After tonight, I speak life to you. You will prosper. Your hands are blessed. Your life is blessed. Your household is blessed. I roll away the reproach by the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. If you are here tonight and you are saying, Lord, I want to follow you, I am a sinner, accept me. If that's what you're saying, raise your hand. I'm a sinner. If your hand is raised, anywhere you are, come to the preacher here. so that I can introduce you to Jesus. Come to the preacher. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Come to the preacher. Come to the preacher. Come to the preacher. I am waiting for you. I am waiting for you. I am waiting for you. My brother, Jesus wants to use you. Today, you will remember today. In the years that are to come, remember today. Give me your hand. Say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I cannot help myself. Forgive me. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Give me the grace to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Lord, look upon this young man tonight. Use him for your glory.